The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
All right. Matthew chapter number 7, verses 24 through 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Let's pray. Father, bless the preaching of the word this morning. Help me as I bring this message, just to bring it in such a way that, first and foremost, it glorifies you, and then, Lord, it speaks to our hearts. It just draws us closer to you, that we realize the need, the necessity of building our faith upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ, having a firm foundation. We ask this now in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. Amen. Third and three messages. If you haven't been with us for these messages, I've been preaching about both out of the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7 and the Gospel of Luke chapter 6, dealing with the different aspects of what's taking place here. And again, just by way of review, of course, these statements are made right after the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus lays out there the various aspects of our kingdom living, everything from where our treasure is to forgiveness and fasting and our worldly treasures and judgment and being careful of false prophets. And many other things that are listed here. And actually, in our adult Sunday school class, Ethan has been going through the Sermon on the Mount. It's been very, very interesting. So the first message was being careful that we do not build our faith on the sinking sand of experience, and that not every experience that we have is necessarily a godly experience. But all of our experiences must harmonize with the Scriptures. And the same with our expectations. We don't always expect what's going to happen in life. And don't base your faith on what your expectations are, but God's. And then expediency. The idea of sometimes, well, we don't care what the Bible says, we're just going to do it this way. And then last week's message, the importance of building our faith on the solid rock of Christ. He is the solid rock. And the importance of the solid rock of Christianity and the solid rock of the church. And we dealt with those three topics out of these two portions of Scripture. Well, today in the final message, I want to focus in on the foundation again. We'll finish up with that. But you notice here in the text, when Jesus brings this statement at the end of the message, this is his conclusion to the sermon, and he uses this illustration of the two houses. Could be identical houses. But what's not identical is what's not seen, and that's what they're built upon. The solid rock or sand, shifting sand. And he says, and gives this example, look again at verse 25. And so the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon that house. In fact, they beat upon both houses. Both houses, the rain descended. Both houses, the Bible says, the floods came. Both houses, the Bible says, that the wind blew. One house continued to stand, and we know that the other house, it fell. It fell. So by way of introduction, I want to give you three thoughts and then get into the three points of the message. And these three thoughts are on your handout on the front page. And I want you to think about it from this perspective, that the rain and the floods and the wind really are three different types of afflictions. So picture in your mind the house and picture the rain coming. Where does the rain come? The rain comes from heaven. And we're reminded from the Scriptures that sometimes our afflictions that come our way, they come from heaven. In fact, you could really say that all afflictions are allowed by God. You know, nothing happens in our lives that God doesn't allow to happen. But sometimes God brings affliction in our lives, and He does it for our good. The Scriptures teach us that. You know, when the children of Israel wandered through the wilderness for 40 years, God allowed afflictions to come into their lives. And if you read through those accounts, you'll see on a number of occasions that God said He did this to prove the sincerity of their hearts, to know where their hearts were. And so sometimes God brings affliction into our life just for that reason. And that's kind of likened to the rain. Where does the rain come? It comes from heaven. The psalmist said this, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me." So there are times that God afflicts us, and those afflictions, they come from God Himself. But secondly, sometimes the afflictions, they're like the floods. The floods, these are the afflictions from the earth. Things that don't necessarily come from heaven, but that come from all around us. In the Apostle Paul's life, he talked about, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, he talked about in the last days, perilous times shall come. People will be proud, they'll be boasters, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. People will be unthankful, disobedient to parents. He gives a whole slew of things there. And then he talks about in 1 Timothy 3:11 about persecutions and afflictions which come at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. So these types of afflictions, listen, we live in a world today that's hostile to Christianity. There are people who are mockers, who scoff at the Christian faith, who scoff at your commitment to the Lord, who scoff at that. So we deal with that kind of affliction. They beat upon us. Or sometimes, listen, it's just life. We live in a fallen world. There are financial setbacks. We lose our job, or you lose your job, and all of a sudden you don't have any income. And we have some friends that we know whose husband lost their job, and he was rehired, but he's making about a third of what he was making at his former job. And the wife has taken on some work, and she's doing some things to kind of try to supplement. These things happen in life. These are the things that we deal with. It's part of the world in which we live in. It doesn't always go the way that we planned. That's, by the way, why we should never base our faith on our own expectations. We never know what a day may bring. And sometimes there's physical afflictions that come our way. Things that we never expected would happen, but they come our way. These are the things from this world. People get sick. These are the floods that beat upon the house. Loved ones that we've lost. We get a phone call. And all of a sudden the news on the other end of the phone is a tragedy. Our mom, our dad, our brother, our sister. I'll never forget the call I got from my brother, and I had to go tell my mom, drive up to the Adirondacks and had to tell her that her oldest son took his own life. It's a pretty hard flood that hits. And then having to console her and then to deal with all of that and all that went with that. These things happen in life because we live in a fallen world, a sinful world. I remember preaching several months ago or several weeks ago, at least I lose track of time, there's a better world coming, amen? There's a better day coming. But until that day comes, the rain comes, the floods come, and then Jesus talked about the wind, and if I could just suggest, these afflictions come from the enemy. the prince of the power of the air. We have an enemy, Satan. Peter tells us he's a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour, to destroy us, to devour us. We have a real enemy. And Peter went on to say that we are to resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Satan afflicts us. He likes to cast doubt on our faith. He likes to cast doubt on the doctrines of God's Word. He likes to cause despair in our lives. In fact, just keep your finger here. Go to Matthew chapter 13. We had mentioned this in the adult Sunday school class. Matthew chapter 13 is the parable of the sower and the seed. And so the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 13 and in verse number 18, or actually go to verse number 3. The Bible says, "And he spake," Jesus did many things unto them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell by the stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And then he explains the parable in verse 18. "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one." That's our enemy, Satan. "And he catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which was received by the wayside. But he that received the seed into a stony place, the same is he that heareth the word, and none with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself." In other words, it hasn't gone deep, like the foundation we're going to talk about. Then he goes on and he says this, "For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh untruthful." The floods come, and the house falls. But he that received the seed, in verse 23, into good ground, is he that heareth the word, understandeth it. Why? And it bringeth forth fruit. Why? Because the roots were deep. The roots could deal with the scorching sun. The roots could deal with all that came its way. So, go back to Matthew, where we started, chapter number 7. So, anyhow, these afflictions come. The rain, the floods, the wind, the rain, afflictions from heaven, the floods, the afflictions from earth, the wind, the afflictions from the enemy. The psalmist said, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all." Wait, won't you read that verse out loud with me, won't you? On the bottom of the front of your handout. Psalm 34:19. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all." Now, turn over to the back of your handout. These three things I want to give you. And now, keep your finger in Matthew chapter 7. But go back over to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter number 6. Luke 6 and verses 47. Parallel scriptures. "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built his house, and he digged deep. And he laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Three things, a as we finish this series of messages up. Three considerations in order for you and I to deal with the afflictions that come our way. Number one is this. If you're going to build a deep foundation, it takes time. There's the time element. He digged deep. The deeper you dig, the longer it takes before you can start building. There is no substitute for time. Since we'd rather just give up. But in order for your foundation to be on a solid rock, it is going to take time to dig and to dig and to dig. The Scriptures teach us that when they dug, they digged deep. They didn't stop digging until they placed the foundation on a rock. That's what they wanted it on. They wanted that foundation on a solid rock. The deeper you dig, the longer it takes. Listen, the easy way, it would take far less time to just go ahead and forget the foundation and start to build the house without building the foundation. So someone might say, you know, I can build this house quicker if I don't have to put the foundation in. And that's true. But I remember when I built my foundation, we put our addition on the back of our house, and they poured the foundation. They said to us, now listen, do not start to do anything on this for several days. Because the foundation, the concrete, had to cure, had to harden. You don't want to start to build on it till it hardens. And so that takes time. I'm impatient. Well, I thought, well, we could pour the foundation and the next day just go ahead and start building on it. You know, you have to wait a few days. You got to let it get hard. It takes time. It would have been easier, or it would have taken less time if you. But what would have happened? You would have damaged the foundation. There's a time factor. Put in the time. On your handout, in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6, it is the qualifications for the ministry, for being a pastor. And there are many qualifications there, but one of them is this. That a man who's called to the ministry, who's called to pastor, should not be a novice, should not be a beginner. In other words, you don't get saved today, and then next month you're the pastor. It's no different in your work. If you're a carpenter, you don't decide one day, well, I'm going to be a carpenter. No, you go to work for someone. We don't usually use this term much, but you do like an apprenticeship, and you learn, and you learn, and then you become a carpenter. Or if you're an electrician, you go to work for an electrician, and you learn and you put in the time, and then you become an electrician. And whatever it might be. So the idea here was not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. So that qualification there for a pastor, for instance, was, listen, that man, he needs to put in the time. He needs to make sure that he's dug his foundation deep. And he needs to make sure that that foundation is placed upon Jesus Christ, the solid rock. Because I can tell you this from my years in ministry, that the winds are going to blow, and the floods are going to come, and the rain is going to fall, and you had better be sure that you are built upon a solid foundation. The same can be true about marriage. You'd better make Jesus Christ the solid foundation of your marriage. Because those of us that have been married for any length of time can tell you that the rain is going to come, and the floods are going to come, and the wind is going to blow in certain aspects, and you had better be sure that you're built upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. The foundation. But that takes time. There is no substitute for that time. With time, you gain experience. And in our Christian life, as we build ourselves up on that solid rock, we have that experience and we gain knowledge and we gain wisdom and we gain understanding. My years in ministry, I've met people, they get saved and a couple of years later, they can come along and think, well, they really know everything. And the reality is, in all the years I've been saved, let me tell you, I'd be the first to tell you, I don't know everything. I'm still digging. Taking the time. No one has all the answers. So, but that's a common temptation, to kind of just skip the time and not put the time in. So we've got to put the time in. By the way, that's why you're here this morning. That's why you take time out of your week and you come and you assemble here and you sit under the preaching and you sit under the teaching of God's Word, because that's how we build our lives upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. That's why I'm encouraging you to open up your Bibles each day and take some time and just spend some time in God's Word. That's so important. And we're built that we're digging deep upon the foundation and spending time in prayer. Time. There's no substitute for it. So that's a common temptation. A wise precaution. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the time in God's Word, or sitting under the preaching of God's Word, or sitting under the teaching of God's Word. That's how the foundation, we spend that time, we've dug deep, we've laid it upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. No substitute for any of that. That's how we learn doctrine. That's how we're reproved. Part of preaching and part of reading even the Scriptures on our own is for God not only to teach us doctrine, what is right, but also to reprove us, to teach us what's wrong. And that fellow said to me, don't do anything with this foundation, especially because the back of my foundation, they poured it extra thick because the mountain comes down there and all the water, so it was going to take a little bit longer to cure. And of course, I had men from the church that know about building. They would have said the same thing, but I wouldn't have known. I would have gone ahead and said, no, I'm just going to we'll start building. So I said, no, you can't do that. You got to wait. That's part of reproving. For correction and instruction in righteousness. So there's no substitute for time. And secondly, notice this in the Gospel of Luke in chapters 47 through 49. So the Bible says they digged deep. That took the time. But it goes on and it says, not only does it take time, but he laid the foundation on a rock. There's the toil. There's the work that's involved with it. Listen, your salvation was free as far as you're concerned. But we base it upon the work, the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's based upon that. He did everything for us. But now, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Listen, laying a foundation is hard work. Especially the old ways they did it. It's still hard work today when you have to dig. I told you last week, I live in an old house. And so my house was built sometime in the late 1800s. So I'm assuming they dig that foundation by hand. That's kind of mind-boggling today. You dig it by hand. And then it's fieldstone. So they went up into the woods or maybe down into the stream, the brook that's across from my house, and they got these big boulders, and they brought these boulders, and I'm assuming they did it with a horse and wagons, but you still had to lift them, you had to put them on there. I mean, I haven't done a lot, but I've done a little bit of work with cinder blocks, and I've done a little bit of work with railroad ties. And by the end of the day, that's hard work. I think, Brother Frank, didn't you tell me your people were bricklayers, foundation layers. And I think you said when you were younger, you helped them. And I can only imagine that you probably spent days just carrying blocks and cinder blocks and mixing concrete and doing all of that kind of stuff. It's work. It's hard work. And there's a common temptation for you and I to just think, well, there's really not much effort that we need to put into our Christianity. No, that's a temptation. You know, we talk about, we're living in an entitlement society today. Everybody wants everything for free. Nobody wants to pay for anything. Nobody wants to work for everything. I mean, politicians will promise you everything for free. Now they want to give everybody a free college education. You know the worst thing that my parents, well, maybe not the worst thing, but one of the worst things that my, and I've told my mom this, they paid for me to go to college. And I am thankful that they did that. And I know there are many students whose moms and dads can afford to send them to college, and they appreciate it. But you know, I didn't appreciate that until much, much later on in life. I took it all for granted. And with our own children, we have kind of partnered with them, and we've paid what we could. They pay and work for what they can. But I'll tell you what, all of them will be much more appreciative of the fact that they paid for a portion of their education that wasn't just given to them. But everybody wants everything for free. Like, we're all entitled to it. Nobody wants to work. I shouldn't say no, but many people don't want to work for anything any longer. But you know, that same mentality can creep into our Christianity. Well, we want a strong foundation, but we don't want to put the labor into it. We don't want to put the time into it, and we don't want to put the toil or the labor. Let's not be guilty of wanting to be entitlement Christians. We want our prayers answered, but we don't want to spend time on our knees praying to God. We're all guilty of this. Again, maybe I shouldn't say all, but many of us. We're fast food prayers. We want to go to McDonald's, order our food, have Trinity service, the extra large ice cream cone. I like those vanilla ice cream cones at McDonald's, but every time I go, I say to them, I'd like a large vanilla cone. Well, sir, we only have one size. I know, large, I say, large. Because sometimes the cone's this big, but if I say large, sometimes it's this big. You know, so. Anyhow. That's for free. I'll just give you that. So, yeah. I feel entitled. Anyhow, how did I get? Oh, fast food. So we want to pull up, get our food. Don't you hate it at McDonald's when they tell you, well, could you pull over, sir, and wait? We'll get it out to you in a few minutes. Now, I know you're more spiritual than I am, so you're probably not like me. Then I say, no, I don't want to pull over and wait. That's why I went through the drive-thru. If I didn't want to wait, I'd gone inside. I would have ordered it right from the counter. But I've gotten a lot better at that. But that's often how our prayer life is. We want to kind of drive up, put our 2 minutes of prayer time in, drive around to the window, and have God answer our prayers. Well, I noticed in the scriptures, not only here, but I just gave you one example out of the book of Colossians, where Paul writes of a man by the name of Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. You know why sometimes I think that we do not put the time and the toil into our prayer life? Just for those very reasons. It takes time and it takes toil. A labor of love. So a wise or a common temptation is we just want it done quickly, but a wise precaution, Paul said to the church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, he said to them, remember without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. It takes work in our Christian life. We're saved. It's a free gift. We're saved by His grace and by His mercy. We're saved by grace. We receive because of what Jesus did for us, what we really don't deserve. That's grace. And His mercy is given to us. And that is not receiving what we do deserve. And that's a free gift given to us because Jesus did the work for us on the cross. He lived a perfect life. He lived a sinless life. He hung on the cross and all of our sin was placed upon Him. He was buried and He rose from the dead, victorious over sin and victorious over death. And if we'll place our faith and our trust in Him, then we're saved. And so that's the foundation of our faith, Jesus Christ. But the foundation of our Christianity, it's built upon Christ. It's built upon His Word. And then you and I, The Bible calls us lively stones. We're part of that house of God. And it takes work to get into the Word, to sit under the preaching of the Word, and it takes time for all of that. And then lastly, the treasure. It's a wonderful thing to own a home. I love my house. Just an old house. Like I said, built in the 1800s. If you have a house, I'm sure you appreciate your house. This may sound strange to you, but sometimes, especially in the winter when it's really cold, especially last winter, it was such a cold winter last winter. You know, it gets windy, and so, you know, the front of my house, that north wind hits it. But I can remember a few times last year, I'd get into bed at night, and it was cold, and the wind was blowing outside, and I'd kind of crawl into bed in between the sheets, and I just kind of lay there. I just thank the Lord for my house. Just a place you could go and stay warm. Instead, we take those simple things for granted. A roof over our head. It's something that we treasure. We own a home, we take care of our homes because it's important to us. But there's a common temptation with regards to our faith, and that's to take it for granted. That it's not as precious today as it maybe it was a year ago, or it's not as precious today as maybe it was 2 years ago or 5 years ago. Peter wrote this in 1 Peter 2, 6 and 7 on your handout. Behold, he said, I lay in Zion a cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. He's speaking, of course, of Jesus Christ. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. When things are precious, we don't take them for granted. We have a home and it's precious to us. We put in the time and we put in the toil to maintain the home. One of the fellows just took over his parents' home or purchasing his parents' home, and he's spending time. Needs some work. Painted the house. And he was telling me this week he's got some work that has to be done on the floors, and this needed to be done and that needed to be done. And why? Because it's precious to him. It's become something. It's his home. He doesn't want it to fall apart. So he's got to put in the time. He's got to put in the toil. Because it's a treasure. And whether you're speaking of the physical home, or we get back to what we were talking about earlier, marriage, raising a family, our church home, our church family, it takes time. It takes toil. Because we are to treasure those things. Not to take them for granted. When Ethan was mentioning today, $810 a week Mount Greylock Baptist Church is giving to missionaries. I tell you, don't take that for granted. There are churches twice our size that maybe the pastor wishes they could give that. That's because you understand the preciousness of spreading the gospel around the world. But it's got to be built on the right foundation. So a common temptation is just to take it for granted, but a wise precaution. Look what Peter went on to say. But unto them which be disobedient, it's a stone of stumbling, and it's a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. That's like the two houses. The master builder says, make sure you dig deep, put in the time, and make sure you lay that foundation, put in the toil, and make sure it's on the rock, make sure you treasure that you get down to that rock. And then there's the other one that says, you know what? I don't really care what the word is. I don't really care what it says. I'm just going to get this house built. I want to get it done now. So if he forgets about the rock, he forgets about the time and the toil. And when the floods come, and they will come, and when the rain comes, and it will come, and when the wind blows, and it will blow, the house will crumble. But the wise man who built his house, who built his life, who built his marriage, who built his family, who built his church life upon the rock, it fell it fell not. It fell not. Troubles come one after another, but they'll not sweep the strong foundation away. To the contrary, they endear us to the hope which is built upon Jesus Christ. Every time the rain comes, and the floods come, and the winds come, and the foundation falls not, it draws us closer and closer and closer to Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. First this morning, if you're here and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, you must be saved. You must be born again. That means you have placed your faith and trust upon the solid rock, Jesus Christ. He's the cornerstone. That means you must understand that you're a sinner, because we've all sinned. It means we've broken the law of God. We are sinners by nature. All of us are sinners by nature. We all have a sinful condition. We must be saved. Jesus came to save you. So you must admit in your heart before God that you're a sinner. You must believe that Jesus died and that He paid for your sin. You can't be good enough to go to heaven, because there's none righteous, no, not one. All of our good deeds, all of our righteousnesses, they're as filthy rags. You just can't be good enough. You can't pay the debt. It's too great. It's too expensive. It's more than you could ever repay. But Jesus came to die and pay for your sin. Jesus, God, became a man, lived a perfect, sinless life. That's why He can pay the debt. And He loves you. He cares for you. That's why He came. That's why He died for you. That's why He was buried. And that's why He rose for you. And if you'll call upon Him today, if you've never called upon Jesus to save you, He will. Those three simple things, A, B, C, you admit to God, you admit, Lord, I am a sinner. I admit that to you. And I believe, B, believe that Jesus died and He paid for my sin. I don't understand all of this, but I understand that. And today, see, I call upon you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm calling upon you to be my Savior. I admit to you I'm a sinner. I believe, Jesus, you died and paid for my sin. And today I call upon you to be my Savior. Come into my heart, and the best I know how, I give my life to you. When you've done that, or if you've done that, now you've placed your feet upon the solid rock. You've placed your faith upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. It's an unmovable rock. It's the anchor of our soul. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe when I was speaking and giving that instruction, maybe in the quietness of the moment, you called upon the Lord to be your Savior. You'd never have done that. You never understood it that way. But today you did that. If you did, would you do this? And I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to point you out or embarrass you in any way. But I'd privately like to be praying for you, to be growing in the Lord. You just slip up your hand and put it down. Preacher, today I called upon Jesus to be my Savior. I'd never done that before, but today I did that. Anyone at all? Then, my brothers and sisters in Christ, you've got to put in the time. You've got to put in the toil. We don't work our way to heaven, but as Christians, to have a solid foundation and to live a life that's pleasing to Him, you've got to put in the time. You've got to put in the toil. You've got to treasure the faith that you have. It has to be important to you. It has to be, in your mind, worth the time, worth the toil to live a life that's pleasing to Jesus Christ. Father, bless this invitation. Let it bring honor and glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.